Hello and welcome to the Atlanta Opera Podcast. I'm Ian Silverman, Associate Director for the Atlanta Opera's production of The Magic Flute. I'm excited to be here at the Atlanta Opera to share this incredible production with all of you. Here are five things to know about Mozart's charming opera. Number one, The Magic Flute, or as it is referred to in German, Die Zauberflöte, is a Singspiel. A Singspiel is a form of German folk opera that alternates between spoken dialogue and sung music. They are usually comic in nature and meant to be more accessible to audiences than some of the other forms of music theater. In a way, the Singspiel is the predecessor to the modern-day musical comedy. While many of Mozart's operas are entirely sung through, like Le Nozze di Figaro or Così fan tutte, Mozart experimented with the Singspiel format throughout his career, from one of his earliest operas, Bastien und Bastien, in 1768, to The Abduction from the Seraglio in 1782, to Der Schauspiel Director in 1786. But none are more famous than his final opera, The Magic Flute, which premiered in 1791. Number two, librettist Emanuel Schikaneder's influence on The Magic Flute goes beyond his work just as the librettist. After an immensely successful collaboration with Lorenzo da Ponte for Nozze, Don Giovanni, and Così, Emanuel Schikaneder marked a departure from Mozart's usual collaborators. Schikaneder was an actor and impresario and became a friend of the Mozart family while his acting troupe was staying in Salzburg back in 1780. Musicologist Peter Branscombe refers to him as one of the most talented theater men of his era. He was a jack of all trades and collaborated with Salieri, Haydn, and Beethoven in addition to Mozart. In addition to his work as the librettist of flute, Schikaneder managed the theater where the opera premiered, directed the premiere before such a time as a stage director was truly codified, and even played Papageno in the first production of Zauberflöte. Mozart and Schikaneder worked very closely on the creation of Magic Flute, meeting almost every day whilst Mozart was also in the midst of dealing with two other commissions, his Requiem and Clemenza di Tito, which was commissioned for the coronation of Leopold II at Prague. Number three, the fairy tale nature of the story. The actual plot of The Magic Flute has puzzled scholars and audiences alike for centuries and leaves itself up for many different interpretations. While it can be approached from a Jungian or Freudian perspective, at its heart, it is important to remember that this is a fairy tale and was created to entertain and delight its audiences. That is the approach we have taken in telling the story. Inspired by the paintings of Maxfield Parrish, our world, designed by David Higgins, is one of innocence and invokes colorful children's books. The production includes an extensive use of puppets and imaginary animals, from the huge serpent that encircles the entire stage to Papageno's bird friends and even a fox and porcupine, all help create a vibrant world of surprise and fantasy that will appeal to children and adults alike. Number four, the Masonic connections to the Magic Flute. Much has been explored about the Masonic connections to Mozart's final opera. The first references to these connections were made in 1794, just 3 years after its premiere. But it wasn't until 1857 that the connection was more explicitly explored. There is even a theory that Mozart was assassinated by the Masons for exposing part of this initiation ritual in the plot of the Magic Flute. But there is no proof to substantiate this claim. Mozart was officially initiated as a Mason in December 1784 and quickly was promoted through the ranks and became a master by April 22nd the following year. He also convinced both his father Leopold as well as fellow composer Joseph Haydn to join the Brotherhood. Schikaneder was a Freemason himself, although he was expelled from his lodge in 1789 because of his free-thinking ways. From what we know as non-Masons, the plot of Act 2 follows the initiation process. The act starts with the deliberation of the initiates, as Arastro is questioned by his fellow priest whether Tamino is worthy of joining their order. Number 5. Symbology is prevalent throughout the piece. Bouncing off this conversation about fairy tales and Masonic imagery, symbols are ever present in this piece. The characters themselves are symbols. Zarathustra represents the sun and warmth, while the Queen of the Night represents the moon and coldness. Tamino represents fire as he burns with passion, while Pamina is his dyad representing water. And finally, we have the dyad of Papageno the Birdcatcher representing air, and Monocytos the Conniving Scavenger representing the earth. This idea of symbolism is reinforced in the scenic design, as the action takes place in a magical box covered with symbols from all different cultures. This magical box shifts from scene to scene, all a vista, or in plain sight, creating a sense of wonder as you never know what will happen next. A colorful jungle could appear, children could float from a balloon in the sky, or an old woman could transform into a beautiful young bird lady. All of which happen in this production. We hope you will come see it and experience the wonder and joy of the Magic Flute. Thank you all for joining me on the Atlanta Opera Podcast. If you enjoyed learning more about the Magic Flute, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera Podcast for more great episodes.